Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Starting the show at 4:30 with John Edwards. It's another week. It's another full weekend of sports, John.
Good day to own a television.
Absolutely. All right, going into week 7 for the NFL, what is it you like? What is it you look forward to?
Sunday morning at 9:30, you can watch the U.S. finally get its revenge for the Brits having burned down the White House in 1814 because they've sent the Patriots and Jaguars to London.
Wow.
If that's not the dictionary definition of trade dumping, I don't know what is. Mow the lawn or, you know, clear the leaves off or something in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the 1 o'clock set is pretty stacked this week. You've got Houston and Green Bay, who are both good, and Detroit, Minnesota also looks like it should be a hell of a game at 1 o'clock. You've got a Super Bowl rematch at 4, Kansas City at San Francisco. At 8, it's an appropriate matchup because we're getting close to Halloween. It's Jets-Steelers, so we've got zombie Aaron Rodgers versus zombie Russell Wilson.
You have a tendency to laugh at Aaron, but his life is complicated because not only is he a full-time quarterback, but he's also a full-time coach for the organization. It's a lot to take in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's difficult when you're trying to do 6 jobs at once. So, I mean, you know, he's a busy guy, I get it, you know, and that, and you've got to be on the Pat McAfee show every other day and, you know, make sure you're caught up with Joe Rogan and spend enough time in your dream yurt. And
yeah, plus his duty with that third party with the Kennedys there. It's not easy.
Yes, he will not be the Secretary of Defense in the future RFK Jr. administration.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. A couple of big trades in the NFL this week, John, including the Jets and, the Bills also, and Amari Cooper, divine intervention. My understanding is that he was hurt, and all of a sudden he gets traded. Hallelujah, he's good again.
Yep, the power of Ralph Wilson commands him. Has healed him. But I mean, I can't say it. I blame him. I would also get better if I was traded away from Cleveland. So I think this is a fairly normal reaction to no longer being a Brown.
What the Jets do, would that help in any way, or are they just trading away their future?
They picked up Devontae Adams, which is an awesome move in 2018. You know, I think they're still going to be the Jets, and I think they're trying to sort of get someone who can work with Aaron. You know, they certainly have a lot of familiarity. They had great chemistry in Green Bay several years ago. I don't know if they can rekindle it in New York. And, you know, I have a feeling that this is going to be pretty much a big old teardown project for the Jets after this year.
Wow, just a sad state of affairs. Let's just go to the CFL really quickly. The Alouettes are playing this upcoming weekend.
Yep, they're at BC on Saturday night, so Montreal got the big win over Ottawa on Thanksgiving, so they'll hope to keep that momentum going, although BC Place isn't necessarily the easiest place for the Owls to go, but maybe a good chance to get a win because BC doesn't look very good. They got hammered by Saskatchewan last week.
Yeah, I would suppose the big plan right now is don't get hurt and make it to the playoffs in full form.
That's it. Yeah, everybody be healthy on November 9th.
Talk to you at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
The palm of my hand, I felt sweet breezes in the top of a tree, but now you're here. Bright in my northern sky.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Michael McDevitt, right now with the Weekly News Review. How are you this week?
I'm doing okay, Daniel. How are you?
I'm fine. Oh, man, not a shortage of things to talk about. Let's start with the Quebec government considering the possibility, Michael, of changing how family doctors are assigned based on Quebecers' health to ensure that the most vulnerable have access. Now, sources say that this scenario is being studied, how Quebec patients in good health or with minor health issues would be referred to a modified guichet d'accès à la première ligne, a service that's currently meant to give Quebecers without a family doctor access to medical appointments. Only patients deemed more vulnerable, such as those with complex or chronic conditions such as cancer, mental health issues, cardiovascular disease, or diabetes, would be assigned a family doctor. I've been looking forward to your comment on this all week.
Yeah. Well, this is another brilliant government idea how to, you know, make medical attention available to everybody. That's what CLSCs are supposed to do. Well, I have a family physician now because I've been referred to a clinic there. I haven't been to them yet, but I have a clinic. I guess they have to take me. But if I'd been waiting for 2-3 years to have a family physician, all of a sudden I'm at the bottom of the rung again, I'd be some upset. That's all I can say about that. I don't see how they're going to solve anything by this, except if, you know, let's pretend we're doing something.
You're taking from the rich and giving to the poor. We were talking off air about this particular point, and you mentioned that your fear would be that if you don't see a doctor regularly, what may be a minor issue now might just become a major issue soon.
Well, exactly. Perhaps one of the reasons people are still in good health is that they do see doctors regularly. If you take that away from them, you're not going to be able to see a doctor until you're really sick. I avoided seeing doctors for ages because I didn't have a family doctor. I'm not going to sit in an emergency room for 4 hours when, it's not that serious.
Don't get me started on this line, this CIS line, that where you might have to wait for 2 to 3 hours to talk to someone, and just as you're being transferred, well, then you're cut off and you have to start the process all over again.
Well, that certainly happens. I'm not going to argue with you there. I don't see how this is going to have any kind of effect other than to really anger some people. And they're missing the point a lot of the ways. If you've had a family doctor for years, this doctor knows your condition. If you're seeing a strange first-time doctor every time you go, that really diminishes the quality of care you're going to get. It's inevitable. Instead of addressing the problem, which is a shortage of general practitioners, and there are reasons for that, most of which are the government's fault, what you're doing is taking away quality care from people who are benefiting from it. You're not necessarily improving the situation of anybody. You know, now your doctors are only going to be seeing people who are in crisis.
It's a slippery slope, to be sure. Let's change subjects. We could go with that one for hours. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Hunting season is in full swing. In a paper article this week, the question is asked, has hunting become an outdated practice that should be reconsidered? The writer, who's making the point that hunting is no longer a practice suited for contemporary realities, without advocating for a complete and outright ban on hunting, should there be a form of awareness that should contribute to denormalization? One of the most frequently advanced arguments that justify hunting is animal population management, the idea that hunting is necessary to control the overpopulation of certain species. Studies show that hunting can often disrupt them, creating an imbalance in the food chain. It should also be noted, according to the article in Le Quotidien, that the hunting industry itself is a resource-intensive industry. Between the use of all-terrain vehicles, the infrastructure required to accommodate hunters, and the impacts on forests, hunting leaves a significant environmental footprint. What say you?
I don't see the romance of hunting at all. You know, I'm looking at deer out my window every second day. There's wild turkeys all over the place. And hunting is not irrelevant if you live in the countryside. Hunting is not any more immoral a way to meet on your table than going to the grocery store is. It just seems to me that that guy was searching for something to write about. He came upon that. I don't think we should be giving that article any more attention than absolutely necessary, which is not at all, to tell you frankly.
Sébastien Levesque says wildlife management can be done through more animal-friendly means. Initiatives like sterilization, relocation, and reforestation are viable solutions. I'm just against the semi-automatics to gun down your moose, you know?
Well, of course, but people aren't using semi-automatics to gun down their moose in Canada. They're using hunting rifles. Getting a moose is difficult enough as it is. You're not gonna do any better with a semi-automatic than you would with any other kind of rifle. If you can shoot, you can shoot. If you can't, well, I don't know what a semi-automatic is going to do to help you.
Yep.
I read that article and I thought, boy, this guy's desperate for something to write about. I don't know about the resource heavy. Geez, if you're going to be talking about resource heavy activities, well, that's pretty low on the list as far as I'm concerned.
I gotcha. Enough said. You joked about this last week. It turns out that the nuttiness is real, Michael. After all, chemtrails have become a central part of a wild conspiracy theory that falsely asserts the U.S. government use non-existing weather manipulation technology to create devastation caused by the hurricanes Helene and Milton. The conspiracy theory being promoted by right-wing influencers online, some with millions of followers, were deliberately steered toward Trump-supporting communities that are part of a plot to steal next month's election. Myths about Milton and Helene increased too on Google search and social media. Chemtrail conspiracy theorists falsely believe condensation trails left behind by aircraft in the sky are full of toxic chemicals spread by the government to control the weather or control people's minds.
Why, you don't think that's true? It's funny, you know, back when I was a kid in the last century, they used to talk about seeding clouds, remember?
Yep.
That works. You can cause rain. You can seed clouds. It's a real step up to creating hurricanes, mind you.
Or controlling people's thoughts.
Or, well, controlling them once you create them, that's even better. People can look at something, see the very obvious truth in front of them, and have to decide that it's darker and deeper, and you don't know who's behind all this. How about that God that you're talking about so much? Hurricanes are a natural phenomenon. If the water in the ocean gets warmer, the storms are going to get worse and more violent. It's as simple as that.
Half the population still doesn't believe that global warming is a thing, Michael.
Oh, I know. But half the population is one of the reasons why we're doomed. Their minds run crazy. People who don't understand anything about math or science or anything like that are sure they understand the deepest, darkest secrets of the dark state that are secretly running the world and controlling everything.
And on social media, all these algorithms, if you think something dumb or stupid, you know, all these news stories are coming in, so to give more credence to what you think. It's amazing.
Remember when the internet promised everybody all this free access to knowledge?
And then you have all these people who are discrediting the media. Fake news, well,
some guy in his basement has an internet camera. It's all the politicians, everybody. I mean, I'm not going to defend politicians because, yeah, they are lying to us. Not about that. It remains amazing to me that the entire scientific community is conspiring to lie to you. That's how important you are. I just don't get it.
Keep supporting your local news journalists. 3 weeks to go and the polls have the Donald rebounding in the polls, Michael.
After the nonsense he's been up to in the last couple of weeks, people wonder what's wrong with democracy. Well, there it is. This election is even close. I'm not a big Kamala Harris fan. You got a sane and sincere woman against a raving lunatic. It's a tie. Okay, I can't think of anybody I want with the absolute authority over nuclear weapons more than somebody who believes windmills killing all the birds.
Yeah, it's one thing for this guy to be a lunatic, but it's an entirely different situation for 150 million people to look at this guy and say, yeah, he's the guy I want as a leader for the next 4 years.
Exactly. He's not going to get any saner in the next 4 years. There's a lot of serious issues in the world that need some intelligent consideration. And what do you get from him? He's crazy.
If you all think this is not important for Canada, wait till all these tariffs are put in and how much it's going to affect our economy, not to mention the effects on NATO being in cahoots with all these autocrats. Oh, man.
Exactly. Trump, he admires guys like Putin and China, that lunatic in North Korea, because, you know, they're strong men. Well, okay, yeah, they are, but they know what they're doing, at least. He's just somebody that wants to be. He's a wannabe. Overly sensitive, childish man who has never had any kind of real responsibility. Virtually every business started has failed. I don't understand it, but there you have it.
I want to be, Michael. I think he's a never was. Anyway, have a good weekend in spite of all of this. We speak next week.
Have a good one, Daniel.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Demons, 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 demons us. She said, I have such bad luck. I got the bad hair and the bad skin. I just could not understand the demons. 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 Coming up from behind. Demons. 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 Been there all my life. Demons. 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 Shelly, can I ride 'em? Oh, turn around. Look 'em in the face. They don't like how sunlight tastes. No, 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 no. Demons in my 3 and my 6 and my 9. Used to be so damn terrifying. So we put them on the bus, but we didn't let them drive. Turn them all into feet on riders. Demons, 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 demons. Coming up from behind. Demons, 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 demons. Been there all my life. Demons, demons, demons. Shelly, can I ride 'em? Oh, turn around.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week, it's Taylor McClure. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Daniel. I'm not doing bad. How about yourself?
Just fine. Thank you very much. Let's talk about a couple of things. And let's start with Mount Foster and the conservation project there.
Yeah, so conservation organization Appalachian Corridor, which is pretty well known throughout the eastern townships now, recently announced the official completion of one of its largest projects in its history in the Mount Foster area, with a final ecological gift from the property owners valued close to $1 million. We spoke with the executive director of Appalachian Corridor, Melanie Leliev, and she explained that the ecological donation consists of 2 important lots measuring a total of 6 hectares, which brings the total amount of land protected protected in perpetuity on Mount Foster to 221 hectares or 546 acres. And this ecological donation marked the last phase of the conservation project. So as a result of the conservation efforts on Mount Foster, Melanie mentioned that around 85% of the mountain is now protected forever for future generations. For those who aren't aware of the conservation project, the conservation efforts on Mount Foster date back to early 2013 when the land was originally planned out for residential development. So the first 215 hectares were protected back in 2019 when the community came together and with the financial support of concerned citizens in the local community and other stakeholders, Appalachian Corridor was able to raise enough money to purchase the land and to put it into conservation. And this was just the final phase of the project. So it's great to see this area be protected for future generations to enjoy and take advantage of.
Great news indeed. And the new permanent structure in Thériault Park in Bolton East.
Yeah, so Bolton S is celebrating the inauguration of its new permanent structure at Thériault Park. It's one of the many projects that are a part of the future development of the municipal park. As we spoke with the mayor of Bolton S, Vinciane Peters, and she explained to CIDI that the new structure is replacing a white tent that the municipality actually had to assemble each summer to host the public market, cultural events, and community activities. And they had to disassemble this tent every winter. Now, with this permanent structure, it provides a residence with a more comfortable space where they can gather all year long. When we were speaking to Vinciane, she noted that there have been other projects that have taken place in Thériault Park already, such as a play area for children that was actually put together by a group of volunteers. And the municipality wants to continue building on this momentum by developing the park in harmony with other spaces and attractions that are in the municipality. The permanent structure that's in Thériault Park was funded by the MRC of Memphremagog, which contributed $150,000 to the regional and rurality fund as a part of its policy to support projects to improve living environments at MPAC, which contributed $50,000 through its proximity initiative. So just a community project to bring people together a little bit more in Bolton S. So it's nice to see this come to life.
Taylor McClure is heard every day on CIDI-FM. As a matter of fact, you can get daily news bits on CIDI991.com. Those are available on the website. Taylor, hope you have a great upcoming weekend and we speak next week.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. Talk next week.
Weather-wise, nice upcoming weekend. Going to be clear tonight, low minus 3. Tomorrow, sunny, high 15. Saturday night, clear, low plus 2. Sunday, sunny, 16 in long range. Monday, sunshine, high 18 degrees. Ed Humphrey from the Townshipers Association just after 5 o'clock. The interview of the week, it's writer-journalist William Crooks. He works for the Sherbrooke Record. He's coming up at about 5:10 this afternoon. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.